Ahoy there, mateys! Welcome back to Moving Right Along, a Muppet Movie Podcast brought to you by toughpigs.com. This is the podcast where we watch Muppet Treasure Island 2 minutes at a time and talk about it a lot. I'm your host, Ryan Rowe.
I'm your other host, Anthony Strand.
And today we have one of our favorite guests, one of our most frequent guests with us. Who are you, guest?
Hi, I'm Danny Horn.
Danny Horn!
From Tough Pigs and Muppet what? Wiki. And Muppet Pictures, and very soon to be the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear more about that. I don't know if you want to talk about that right now. I'm sure everyone wants to hear more about it.
I would love to. The Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast, it is coming soon on the toughpigs.com feed. It's a history and analysis and a celebration of Miss Piggy as a pop culture phenomenon. Coming up, I've got episodes with Bonnie Erickson and Craig Shemin, Calista Hendrickson, Brian J. Jones, as well as Anthony Strand and Ryan Rowe. Both of you are guests on the show, who I'm very excited about. We go deep into Miss Piggy's development and how she became the amazing mythological trickster figure who inspired the world.
That I am so looking forward to hearing all of this. It's so great to know that there is a new, like, that there's so much new Muppet fan analysis from Danny Horn coming. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
And all about the same thing for episode after episode.
But something that you are, like, the number one fan
that
of.
I love, yeah.
Like, no, Danny, like, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if you know how big of a fan I am of the cartoonist Daniel Klaus, who made, like, Ghost World and David Boring and stuff. He doesn't put stuff out much these days. And right. When he does, it's like such a thrill. And the idea of you doing a Miss Piggy podcast gives me the same feeling.
Oh, it's like a Daniel. It's like I'm Daniel Klaus to you.
It's like you're Daniel Klaus, yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's wonderful.
So true.
Well, the thing that's fun is, you know, there's kind of this question of, like, it's just one character. Like, how much can you say about this one character? But yeah. As fans know, the more deeply you look into something, the more interesting it becomes. So I am going to demonstrate by force, if necessary, that Miss Piggy is fascinating and everybody should love her. And I'm sure that's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to change a lot of minds with that podcast, I'm sure. Well, we're not talking about Miss Piggy in this episode of this podcast because we are talking about minutes.
For a very long time.
You're right. Exactly. It's going to be a lot of minutes.
I'll be back for that. But yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's a little teaser. But today we're talking about minutes 9 and 10 of Muppet Treasure Island, in which Jim Hawkins and Gonzo and Rizzo sing Something Better. That's what they do for the whole two minutes while they do some chores. We pick up here with Jim finishing the first line of the song that he started last week. Want to cry. I feel like the world is passing me by. But yeah, we alluded to this last week. The song is called Something Better. In the tradition of musicals, this would be classified as an I want song. This is just Jim singing about how instead of just being stuck here doing chores, he wishes he were out having adventures.
That's true. Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil went to the store, found a generic product labeled I want song, cracked it open, dropped it right in the movie.
Now, I have personally found this song to be extremely useful. Just this evening.
What is that?
I was doing the dishes after dinner and singing this song. And it turns out this is an amazing song for explaining to your husband that you shouldn't be doing dishes because you should be out exploring someplace.
Oh. Did he get the message?
He absolutely did. He did not agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't, also because he didn't want to hear this song.
So he wasn't a rat. I love this song. I think this is a fantastic song.
Interesting.
I think this is the best song in the movie. This is
really that's why you wanted to come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you specifically requested this.
Yeah, great.
This song.
Yeah.
I like this. This is this is one of two songs in the movie that actually has Muppets singing it. And I feel like in a Muppet movie, there's this and there's Love Let Us Here.
Cabin Fever is all Jerry Nelson and,
like,
Bill Beretta.
The ensemble. Like,
It is mostly background randos.
Like one-offs.
Here's the thing, Danny. And Cabin Fever, like, yeah, they've got some Muppets in it, but a lot of it, both of those, is pirates and randos. and people we don't know the name of. Hmm, and really, if you want like a for real Muppet song, you got Gonzo and Rizzo here. You got Kermit and Piggy with Love Let Us Here.
I'm going to remind you that the Shiver My Timbers song has mm-hmm. Jerry Nelson saying, "The devil himself would have to call them scum." And there's nothing Muppeteer than that.
That is a moment.
Jerry Nelson as a monkey.
Jerry Nelson as a monkey.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean, though. I do. And you're right. I'm glad you like it. I'll say that. Well, I'm done.
The thing that I like the most is just Gonzo and Rizzo's harmonies.
Gonzo Which and Rizzo's, I did write that down. Yeah, toward the end of the song especially, they have some nice harmonies.
Yeah.
There is definitely a bit of like, what is this horrible noise? And you're, that's Jim Hawkins singing. But if you see his singing as something that exists for Gonzo and Rizzo to harmonize with, I feel like it works.
So in the first verse of this, Gonzo and I cannot let this pass.
Yes.
In the first verse, Gonzo and Rizzo do not harmonize. They do Muppet Beach Party style.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because it's the same thing, right? You knew I was going to say it. Yes. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Like, it's not, I'm not exaggerating.
And I know that it sticks in your craw every time Muppets do this.
So Jim says, I feel like the world is passing me by. And right after that, Gonzo says, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, is it a curse I'm under to do it till I die? Gonzo says, I hope not. And Rizzo says, yeah.
They're just being supportive friends.
They're such good friends.
And they are.
What a great song.
when you hear Jim singing here, this is Kevin Bishop, even though it doesn't sound like Kevin Bishop when he speaks. And the reason for that is that this song, the track, was recorded very early in the process of making this movie, way before they actually started filming. He's in his, I forget exactly how old he is, but he's in his early teens here. So when they got to the time when it was time to shoot this number, his voice was changing and he could no longer hit all the notes in the song. So they couldn't have him re-record the song because he just couldn't. So he had to lip sync to the track of him singing before his voice changed, which is why he has this lovely falsetto here when he sings. And then when he speaks, it's more, I don't know, pubescent.
Yeah. I think he does a good job. I really have no problem with his vocals in this song at all.
Yeah, I think, the singing is fine. I mean, I've watched this with people where they start to laugh when he starts singing, but I think that's just kind of, it's just because it's unexpected.
That his voice is so high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that information, by the way, comes from the DVD commentary by Brian Henson, which I've been referring to and will continue to refer to. By the way, do either of you own the Blu-ray of Muppet Treasure Island?
I do.
I do not.
Have you ever watched it with the commentary?
I don't think that I have.
So on the previous DVD version of the movie, there was this commentary called like Hidden Treasure with Brian Henson, Gonzo, and Rizzo.
Okay.
And periodically Gonzo and Rizzo will cut in and say, stop the movie, watch this. And on the DVD, it would then cut to like a behind the scenes or maybe an excerpt from the making of special, something like that.
Yeah.
On the Blu-ray, all that audio is still there, but they did not retain the feature where it cuts away. So just like every 5 minutes, you'll have Gonzo and Rizzo say, wait, stop the movie. Take a look at this. Okay, back to the movie, but there's nothing actually happened. So that's, I don't know why. If
that's not a great consumer experience.
No, if they just overlooked that or if they just decided not to bother going to the effort of carrying that over.
They didn't even bother to put Muppet Treasure Island and, what is it, Great Muppet Caper?
Yeah.
On different Blu-rays.
Yeah, that was
so weird.
Interesting decision. They released those together.
I guess they're like both adventure movies
I guess.
I feel like not putting in the hidden treasures kind of says it all as far as how much they cared.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good on Blu-ray. Right. Look good. Sounds good. All right. So the song, let's go with the lyrics. Any favorite lyrics? Any not favorite lyrics?
I got one. It's partially a lyric, partially it's a performance thing. Mm-hmm. But when Gonzo takes over, Gonzo and then Rizzo get featured lines
yeah.
after the first chorus. And Gonzo says, if it's wild and weird, let's go and find it.
If it's weird and wild, let's go and find it.
The crazier, the better is what I say. But between the two lines, after go and find it, he goes, and it's just like such a great little Gonzo moment.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it was just Dave throwing in the laugh to like, you know,
to get through between the line. Yeah.
Well, just to like give it a little extra oomph or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's my favorite thing about this song.
Yeah, that's good. And it's also rhythmic. It goes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The music. So yeah, that's great. Fun.
Love that.
I actually do kind of like the lines about rhyming distant lands with dishpan hands. I think that's pretty clever.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
That was what I was going to cite as well. Yeah. I think it's super cute. There is one kind of controversy around it around the line, and I'll be by your side.
Yeah.
And then RZA says, he'll be by your side. The captions say he'll be by your side. The lyric sites say he'll. I hear it and it sounds like he says he'll be by your side. And in fact, it actually is he'll. But it can't be, can it?
Well, up in the song up to this point, Jim is expressing how he wants to go on adventures. Gonzo is very excited to join him, but Rizzo is more like, I don't know, I'm only interested if there's food. Like at this point, Rizzo is not sold on the concept of going on an adventure.
Earlier, Jim says, when I could be an explorer, Gonzo says, sure you could. And Rizzo says, not so fast.
Right. So I think it's, yeah, Gonzo saying, I'll be there. Rizzo is saying, yeah, he'll be there. Like, he'll don't be, count yeah. on me, but he'll be there.
It feels like a dick move.
It's Rizzo,
Well, they have...
Man, like, as far as I'm concerned, dude, you are the entire focus of my life, as we see in this film. But as far as I'm concerned, if you step outside this place, you can pound sand.
But like that's what they're going for with Rizzo in this movie, is that Gonzo's the loyal friend,
yeah.
and Rizzo's the less loyal, nervous, like doesn't want to be their friend. Like that's pretty consistent. It's not. I don't enjoy it very much, but it's pretty consistent.
And he's a scoundrel, or he's the guy who's going to sell rats tickets to a cruise when it's actually just a pirate ship.
I thought you were going to say he's the guy who sells his friends out to Charles Grodin for a hot dog.
We've seen him do that, so yeah, he's fickle. Yeah, but wouldn't it be interesting if Rizzo then chose not to go with them? If this, like, at some point in the movie, Jim and Gonzo go to Squire Trelawney with their treasure map, and Rizzo's like, I'm just gonna stay back here. Yeah,
sure. What if Rizzo stayed at the inn and sold tickets to the inn?
Well, the
turn that into a rep.
The inn's not going to be in great shape, although I guess Mrs. Bloveridge stays. That's true. So, yeah, he could have stayed there and helped her rebuild.
Yeah, and then turned that into a rat resort.
There you go.
Sold tickets to that.
That could have been a subplot.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, which is, are Gonzo and Rizzo real in this movie?
Yes.
Because I feel like this is a Muppet movie. There's a reading of this movie in which they are figments of Jim's imagination. They're just like imaginary friends that he's dreamed up because his situation is just so sad and desperate that he needs to dream. That's not the correct reading of this movie.
Right.
I'm aware of that. It's not correct.
But you're forgetting that we've already seen Billy Bones grab Gonzo's nose and look him in the eye.
I'm not forgetting anything. I'm just
in
saying.
In a few minutes, we're going to see Billy Bones address Gonzo, grab Gonzo and call him Jimmy, Jim, Jimmy, Jim, 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 Jim.
And Mrs. Bloveridge says, boys, boys. Like she's addressing all three of them.
Like pretty consistently other characters can see them. So like most It's All a Dream or It's All Imaginary mm-hmm. fan theories, that one falls apart as soon as you think about it for five seconds.
I am aware that it is not correct, and yet there is a truth about it, which is that Gonzo and Rizzo don't really want anything. They just exist only to follow Jim around.
Yeah, I mean, the real answer is this: it's one of those things where they had to put them in the movie somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, the truth is every single character in this movie, every single Muppet in this movie, is an awkward fit for this movie. That's the truth you're getting at.
Yeah, they had to make some strange choices to adapt Treasure Island to the Muppets, that's for sure.
Yeah, there is kind of just at that core level, I guess this is probably what you're talking about all season, but just like, why are we doing an adaptation of Treasure Island?
Yeah.
If there aren't enough characters to make it good, why are we doing
that? I do wonder about the alternate reality where they had gone with the other idea they were apparently considering after Christmas Carol, which was a Muppet King Arthur.
Mm.
I don't know if that would have been a better fit. I mean, then you would just have a bunch of familiar Muppets playing knights,
probably. Yeah, which, and dragons and stuff.
Yeah, which could have been fun.
What's good about that idea is that that's a story that has at least one female character.
Right? Yes, there is a female character written in that story. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was the comic, however many years ago that was. So we have an idea of what a Muppet King Arthur story would look like.
Well, I feel like Jim. I feel like what this song is actually about is that Jim knows there are other Muppets out there.
Hmm.
That is what he's wishing for. Like, he's got Gonzo and Rizzo. He's got like a solid start, but he knows.
Yeah, but you're forgetting again that Rolf and Robin and Pops. We're all in the opening scene of this movie. Jim served them food that he just saw them.
I forget none of these things. Collecting action figures. He knows there's a Sam Arrow figure out there.
There is.
He
knows
Kermit with a cute little captain's hat on. And yeah, he's got to go and get him. And I agree with him on that.
I hope the rest of this episode is more instances of Danny presenting a theory and Anthony immediately shooting it down.
Shooting me down.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm being a jerk. I'm sorry. I should stop.
No,
I should
stop.
Is that what
talking about the Treasure Island?
I am here to help you guys work through this, though. I mean, what am I here for if not Anthony? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Well, we're early yet.
This is only minutes 9 and 10. No, so can we talk about... no, you go ahead, Ryan. You're the host.
Oh, well, there's really not... Because, like I said, the whole 2 minutes is just this song. I have a few things from the June 1st, 1994 draft of the screenplay, but before we get to that, like, any thoughts about the staging of the number? It's a little bit cramped because they're just kind of in this kitchen for the whole time. I do like the moment... I think it's the Dishpan Hands line, actually, when Jim jumps up on a barrel and he's using a broom to mime like he's
like thrusting a sword
as an I thought it was an oar of a boat, like,
oh, I guess
so. Then you're thinking of the fire poker.
Exactly.
Fire poker is what I'm thinking of.
And then Gonzo's dancing around with that mop for a minute. That's fun.
Yeah, that's the same. The Gonzo dancing with the mop is the same moment as the
right. Yeah.
One thing that's funny about the staging is that Jim spends the entire song walking away from Gonzo and Rizzo. And they keep following him. If you watch it with, like, once I realized that, I was like, it's really funny. Because he's just constantly at each moment, like, just turning and walking away. And then they come and snuggle up to him. And he's like, okay, great. Well, now I'm going to go over to the stairs. As soon as they get there, he's like, I'm back. He does a complete lap around the room with these weird creatures just chasing him. I feel like he's getting his steps in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to do it somehow.
Yeah, he's got his Fitbit going.
You're right. So my main thought about the staging of this number is another grouchy one. I'm sorry.
okay.
This song basically fills the same spot in the movie as One More Sleep does in the Muppet Christmas Carol, right? It's like
the same position.
We've established who the characters are. It's a ballad. They're clean. They're literally cleaning up before they leave the location.
Yeah.
But in that one, and I recognize that it doesn't need to be the same thing. I recognize that. Mm-hmm. But that song is all clever puppetry tricks, right? Rats are carrying books. Rats are lowering the blinds. Rats are using brooms as stilts. There is not one puppetry trick in this whole sequence. Gonzo spins around with the mop, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Rizzo holds his arms out, holding objects that we don't see him pick up. You know? And otherwise they just kind of stand there or they move. Yeah.
They appear in the crook of Jim's arms.
Right, right. Like even like when Jim is gonna do the sword fight, when he picks up the fire poker to do the sword fight, you kind of think for a second that Gonzo might have a sword fight with him. And then he doesn't. He just slides up right next to him.
Gonzo kind of sticks out the mop, right? But then it doesn't really.
Yeah.
But they don't follow through.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, again, like, maybe they just never thought it needed to be visually interesting or impressive, but it feels like this movie just has a lower budget than Christmas Carol or a shorter shooting schedule or something, where like Christmas Carol, they could take the time and spend the money to make everything look visually interesting. And in this one, they're just like, doesn't matter. Throw Gonzo and Rizzo on the screen. Who cares?
Yeah, either or both of those things might have been true. I don't know. We haven't looked that up yet.
Now, Anthony, what you don't remember is that it, just a minute from now, Mrs. Bluebird just got, I don't know. I got nothing. I just wanted to say that you don't have that.
Well, here's the thing, Danny. We're watching this movie 2 minutes at a time. So I just saw all those earlier scenes, and talked about them. So, but also, Muppet Treasure Island has probably escaped your noggin because you're a reasonable person.
Unless you watched it recently.
I just watched it all over again because I was going to go and be on this podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Did you just watch it?
Yeah. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing.
Sure. I didn't. I mean, I'm really just watching the clips. Like, I didn't rewatch the movie.
I've seen the movie many times.
Yeah, but I didn't rewatch it just now. Yeah.
Oh, you'll love it.
Sure. Maybe. Maybe this time.
The whole thing in order. You'll like it better.
Well, there's a question that I have about just, and so again, maybe you guys have talked about this, but the Flanderization of Gonzo and Rizzo, where they have kind of like, I'm really glad that Gonzo and Rizzo are in the movie. Like, clearly it's like they really work together in Christmas Carol and we're super cute in Christmas Carol. And so therefore we want them in the movie more
as a duo.
Together. Yeah.
But they kind of get reduced down to fairly basic character traits here.
Well, I think Rizzo kind of already is that in Christmas Carol, right? Like,
yeah, he just wants to eat.
He just wants to eat, or he panics. Right. He like gets chased by the cat, or he's like freaking out because they're being pulled by the ghost of Christmas past or whatever. You know, he's jumping on the goose and his feet hurt or whatever. You know, I mean, there's a lot of like Rizzo is in pain or peril jokes in that movie. He's jumping from great heights multiple times or falling from great heights. And so I think that movie establishes Rizzo as like the little sidekick freaking out or whatever.
Right.
But now Gonzo also has to be a sidekick.
Right.
Yes. And I think stuff like he'll be by your side or like earlier Jim says, I hate my life. Gonzo says, I hate your life. Rizzo says, if I had a life, I'd hate it. Like there's a hierarchy where Gonzo is the sidekick, is Jim's sidekick, and Rizzo is Gonzo's sidekick.
Right.
Which isn't completely new because Gonzo was essentially a sidekick before he was a sidekick to Kermit, and like he was
like on the Muppet Show,
yeah, in, like, and the Muppet, you know, movie. In the Muppet movie, Great Muppet Caper, he was in a similar position of being the other guy who says weird, funny things,
right? But then now he, like, Rizzo isn't anything to him back then,
right?
You know, he's like the weird comic relief, and now the weird comic relief has to have a comic relief following him around,
and
that's why I think it feels a little more strained with Rizzo this time because he Gonzo kind of doesn't have a function in the story, but Rizzo really doesn't during this part. Like once they get on the boat and he's selling tickets and all that, that's a good use of him.
Yeah. That's Rizzo's one like huge redeeming feature in the movies that I think the rats on the cruise is probably the most reliable source of humor in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think I would agree with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. Rizzo bringing that in. But Gonzo, he is basically just there to think that everything is cool.
Right.
And to be cool, like, many times.
Yeah, everything dangerous is cool. And
Yeah,
they have such a different place in this than they did in Christmas Carol, because in Christmas Carol, the movie keeps coming back to them, and they keep having bits of business in between the story.
And there is a real sense in that movie that Gonzo's in charge. You know, hoity-toity Mr. Godlike Smarty Pants or whatever. You know?
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
And in this one, he's not ever. He truly is just like the boy hero's sidekick. And the boy hero is not the Muppets. And I don't know. He's like subordinate to a guy who's not a Muppet.
And in this one, this is the first one where he's not performing.
Gonzo.
Like, he's a performer in, I guess he's, yeah.
He's an artist. He's a photographer in Caper, you know.
Yeah, in Caper. Muppet Manhattan, he's on stage. The Christmas Carol, he's a performer, basically. He's a storyteller. And here now, like, the cool, wild, potentially painful stuff, like, it's not art anymore. Like, it used to be. That used to be his whole deal.
It's just sadism.
You do these things for art. Yeah, now it's just masochism. Yeah. Just like all he wants are these kind of like extreme experiences.
Yeah, that's kind of how he was in Great Muppet Caper, which I hadn't really noticed until we watched that 2 minutes at a time, where a lot of his jokes in that are about, you know, like, what if I jumped out of this hot air balloon and then I want to get my nose slammed in this elevator again.
Right, yeah. Throws himself in front of the taxi and says it's great when it works after he doesn't get hit.
So this kind of feels like a continuation of that aspect of
him. That's why they're on the same Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's it. That's why. It's the Gonzo Loves Pain 2-pack.
I wish you know how some you remember how Paramount used to put out these DVDs that were like Airplane, the Don't Call Me Shirley edition.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller, the Bueller edition.
Yeah, I loved that.
I'm good. I'm saying one more. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the Those Aren't Pillows edition. Okay. I'm not kidding. They should have done that. It should have been called Paper and Puppet Treasure Island, the Gonzo Loves Pain edition.
Really
with no hidden treasures.
Well, all this makes me think once again, I would really love to read some of those early drafts where Gonzo and Rizzo played Jim Hawkins. Just to see, then, what if that actually worked better? I mean, at the very least, Gonzo and Rizzo would have a more important place in the story. They would actually be affecting the story and participating in the story more than they do in this version.
Right, they just kind of hang out. They're just, and it's like
they're just.
I guess.
Yeah, and again, I'm happy to see them, like we've been saying. But yeah, no, you're right about that.
Yeah, I love those guys, especially the one. You know which one. The other one, he's okay too.
Okay. Yeah. So then it ends with this. There's something better than this for you and me. And then the camera pulls back. This is where. I think, Danny, you mentioned Gonzo and Rizzo just kind of insert themselves in between like the openings between Jim's arms and his torso. And the camera pulls back as much as it can. Again, I think this must have been a small set because you could imagine this as taking place on a much bigger set with a really big dramatic crane shot, but it's just kind of the camera pulls back as much as it can. And I do like how the mugs and steins on the counter and hanging above the counter sort of frame them like it's a proscenium. That's kind of cool. That looks good, but
I think it's supposed to be cramped in the sense of like Jim's life is constrained. He just has to be in this small tavern, and really, you know, what he wants to do is be out in the world.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think a small set works for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other I Want songs to compare it to. Like Part of Your World from Little Mermaid ends with like a shot pulling like up from Ariel to the rest of the giant vast ocean, which they can't really do here. But yeah, that's all I have from the actual things that happen in these minutes. Any other thoughts?
That's all I had.
One thing that I like about the song that I like about them is actually that I do believe in these guys as friends. Like as much as I agree. As much as I think that it is possible that they don't actually exist and that this is actually the Sixth Sense, the three of them are very sweet with each other.
Yeah.
And I can see how like in this like terrible little dark inn. That like the three of them could find each other as lost children.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's cute.
And it makes Jim, I think, more likable that he has like he's bad at choosing friends. Like he chooses Billy Bones, who's insane. And then he chooses Long John Silver as a father figure, which is a terrible idea. But he has recognized these two like fuzzy things that are scrounging around on the floor. He has recognized that they are actually fun and great, and he's going to be their friend, which I think is very sweet.
Yeah. Well, and Kevin Bishop does work well with Muppets. He's good at.
Yeah, he does. The friendship feels very real. Like I agree.
Yeah. So one thing from a couple of things from the June 1st, 1994 draft of the screenplay. In this draft, while they're washing dishes, it describes Jim handing the dishes to Gonzo spinning them to Rizzo, And then
see, there's puppetry tricks.
So they
were in the script at some point.
They may have just decided, that that was going to take too long or be too complicated or expensive. And then, eventually they would have created precariously high stacks of dishes, which we don't see. And then there's also a cut in this draft from nighttime to the following afternoon where there's kind of a pause in the song. And they see a ship sail by in the distance. Jim says he'd like to be the captain of that ship. And Rizzo says that he'd rather live in that big house on the hill, which Gonzo points out is the home of Squire Trelawney, the shipbuilder.
So this is all happening during the song?
In the middle of the song, yeah. Like they I guess they stop singing for a minute and then they have this exchange and then they continue the song. But so again, they're trying to bring in these little allusions and hints to the characters that we're gonna meet earlier than they do in the final movie, which is interesting.
But they would have stopped. Like, what that means is this always bothers me in a movie when like the characters are going someplace and then like you cut to them getting out of the car and they're still having the same conversation.
Yeah, I just saw something
right.
Like
it's
that
like
somebody
I'll
was
tell
making
you on
a
the
list.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody was making a list and then it cut to them at a different location.
And they're still doing
the list. Yeah, it wouldn't have taken that long.
So this would have been like, it's the next morning and they're still singing the same song.
Right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Visual variety. You ever heard of it? Like, movies aren't real life. I think it's fine to move to a new location.
I guess it's just more movie. It's more uncommon for the song to pause and cut to a new location and a new time.
Right. It would be just during the song. Yeah.
Get right back into it. Right.
Yeah. But then it describes that the song should end with the three of them hanging sheets on a clothesline. And as the song reaches its climax, the sheets flap in the wind like sails on a ship. That would have looked cool.
Oh,
yeah. But yeah, that would have been good.
But they didn't do it. They just decided to do a simpler version of the song.
Where they just do a lap around the room.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. That's what we have.
Muppet Treasure Island, a lap around the room.
Is that going to be the title of this episode? We'll see. and then one final thing. A while back, it occurred to me that there are two Muppet movies with songs that include the words something better in the title. So I made a quick silly video cutting between this and Ralph and Kermit singing I Hope That Something Better Comes Along from the Muppet Movie, which is on the Tough Pigs YouTube channel. I will link to it in the show notes.
So are they? So that implies that Ralph and Kermit can't wait for this song.
Yeah, they hope that something better.
They're hoping that something better.
Yeah,
from Muppet Treasure Island comes along.
They've been waiting for it for what? Like almost 20 years.
17 years.
Just about at that point. Yeah, yeah, that must be it.
Yeah, that's why Ralph hangs out at the tavern. He was hoping to hear the song.
And oh, left. And then he leaves right before
he leaves right before the song.
He just missed it.
Oh man, bad timing.
Oh, buddy.
That goes to show, never leave a tavern.
That's right.
Never leave a tavern. Yeah.
That's right.
Be like Billy Bones. He's just sleeping upstairs.
He lives there, yeah.
Right. Okay, any final thoughts, Danny, starting with you?
I believe I've given you all the thoughts that I have.
All right. And you will be back with us not next week, but later in the film, as we mentioned.
Far, far in the future.
Yes. So
once Miss Piggy shows up.
Yes. That's going to be a while. So, But everybody can have that to look forward to. Anthony, any final thoughts?
Well, I have one thing from The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh.
We're going to
book to movie comparison.
Yes, we are going to crack open The Strange Case. Which, by the way, Danny, this is where we just compared the book Treasure Island to the movie Muppet Treasure Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to have to explain that to our guest every time.
Maybe. Yes. I hope so. But you know, it's funny. Nobody ever asked about the old Curiosity Shop. Like, nobody ever questioned it because they don't care that that's the title of the book. Mm. None of this is in the book. Jim does not sweep up or do the dishes in the book. He does serve food and set the table.
Okay.
So it kind of seems like his only duties at the inn, which again, his mother owns, his only duties are like wait staff duties kind of.
So did they change it? I didn't realize they changed it from his mother to this crazy old lady so that they could basically burn the inn down and you don't feel bad.
Right. Yeah. Yes, correct.
And I guess it's more effective that he has no parents for him to later bond with Long John.
Long John. Yeah.
I don't know. Robert Louis Stevenson didn't feel that way.
That's true. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
What does he know?
All right, then, with that, we can wrap things up for this week. As always, thanks to Morgan Davey for our show's logo. And also, as always, you can find Tough Pigs on the internet at toughpigs.com. We're all over social media, as well as TeePublic and Patreon. You can also join us on the Tough Pigs Discord server, where lively discussion is happening. Let us know what you think of these minutes, this scene, this movie, this song by emailing us at movingrightalong@toughpigs.com. You can find me on Blue Sky at me Ryan Rowe. You can find Anthony on Blue Sky at Durwood Clapper. And Danny, please remind our listeners where they can find you.
They can find me probably right now, by the time this episode comes out, on the Tough Pigs Muppet Fan podcast feed with the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast, and I'll be on X as Fantastic Miss P and
Oh.
on Blue Sky as Danny Horn.
All right. Yeah, I would think the timing by the time this gets released that you'll probably
Be
have
out already.
started posting this. So yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, can't wait. And Danny, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Always great to have you.
Oh, thank you.
And we look forward to your return. And listeners, we look forward to your positive reviews wherever you can leave a review of this podcast. And please tell everyone you know about this show. And join us again next week for another episode of Moving Right Along. Goodbye.
Bye.